This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma, the place not to be today. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 20th, episode 2185, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
And coming up on today's show, Melanie Eberhardt is going to introduce us to her War Horses blog, It's Not What You Think. And then First World Equestrian Problems is going to hit sarcasm right in the bullseye. And Kristen from Horse Nation is going to put forward the worst pair of viral Facebook videos ever. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
For the start, improbable restless in the starting gate. Mike Smith, an improbable settling down. And the maiden Bodie Express lost the jockey at the start. Unseated John Velasquez right out of the gate. So Warrior's Charge will go out to the early lead as they come through the stretch for the first time. Harkin King is away running in second. Another Twist of Fate is third on the outside. And behind them is the Maryland horse, Always Mining. War of Will is fifth and down on the inside. And then it's win, win, win. There's a break of another two. Back to Improbable, who's racing about seven lengths off the lead early on. Then Bourbon War, followed by Owendale and Signalman to the outside. And the loose horse is running in behind them. The two trailers are Ever Fast and Laughing Fox. 22.5 with a swift opening quarter mile as they head on to the backstretch where Warrior's Charge leads the way. Market King is second, and then it's another Twist of Fate, third on the outside. And they complete this first half mile in the Preakness in 46.16 seconds. Tyler Gaffleone has War of Will, fourth at the rail, and four lengths off the lead, a similar trip to the Kentucky Derby, right behind the pacemaker. And then comes Always Mining to the outside. Improbable is racing in between horses with four and a half lengths to make up. And then it's win, 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 and Owendale and Signalman is down on the inside. So they make their way around the far turn. Warrior's Charge continues to lead the way. Another Twist of Fate pressing on the outside. Always Mining is getting going right behind the leaders. And now moving three wide on the far outside. Improbable is in gear as well. And then it's War of Will on the inside, who's now being ridden to keep up. Win, win, win is going very wide. Owendale two, and they're into the stretch. And it's Warrior's Charge off the turn in front. Another Twist of Fate. Here is War of Will. And he got through an opening on the inside at the gate pole. Owendale is storming down the center of the track. But it's War of Will coming down to the 16th pole in front. In front by two lengths late. A late charge from Longshot Ever Fast on the inside two. But nothing stood in his way. War of Will won the Preakness. And then it was Ever Fast in a photo with a...
Mama made some money.
Oh, yes. Yeah? You bet on this one?
I did. I took War of Will because I just felt like he was the one who was the most heavily impeded, whether or not he caused it or Maximum Security did. And I just thought he needs a fair shot to get down the stretch. And with an open lane, I think he was going to go for it. And he did. And he won. However,
nobody cares.
Nobody seems to care except for the owner ones, because yeah. They're thinking
you
about sending him
winner.
To the Belmont. Yeah, me and the owner. They're thinking about sending him to the Belmont. He's like, you know, why not? This War of Wills will be the only horse that competes in all three of the Triple Crown races if that happens. Did you know, fun fact, the War of Wills has string halt? I did not know that.
I don't even
but
know
apparently,
what that is.
It's like a muscle firing problem when the horse is walking or backing up and they lift it.
That's
really
one
high.
We haven't covered on a Wednesday yet.
I honestly, it's a muscular neurologic problem. Anyway, so he was walking back to the barn. People are like, he's lame. And the owners come out like, no, he has string halt. That's just the way it is. But it doesn't affect them when they're trotting or cantering or galloping. So,
okay. Nobody cares about all that. Okay. All anybody cared about was the horse without a rider. That's all anybody cared about. That's all the news stories. And I went on Twitter to see what everybody was saying about that. By the way, has this been a mess of a year so far as the Triple Crown races are concerned? It just seems like racing can't get a break right now.
I think that this happens more often than not. A horse gallops around riderless, but it's the Preakness, and there's a bunch of new people watching.
And before we get to that, Pimlico, that you know they've been talking about moving this Preakness out of Pimlico because Pimlico's falling apart. The track is a mess. They had a water main break a couple days before, which meant they had no water at the track, so none of the caterers could work there to get ready. The bathrooms weren't working, and apparently, even on the day of the race, half the bathrooms weren't working, and they had to close a 7,000-seat section of the track because it wasn't safe for people. So there you go. But anyway, so Bodie Express decided to really buck, kind of just rear up in the gate. And I don't know that John Valesco has even had a chance of staying on. But he hung in there, didn't he? He ran the whole race. And that's all everybody could talk about on Twitter. And by the way, Jennifer pointed this out. The outrider that came out to get him only at the final turn only ended up pushing him into the pack. That was kind of a disaster too.
Yeah, it's almost like just catch him on the final turn. Don't even give it a go.
I mean, yeah, at that point they're at full steam. The horse wasn't bugging anybody. He stayed in his lane better than anybody.
It shows you a couple things. Number one, these horses freaking love to run, and that herd mentality.
Yeah, they're sticking with
strong.
Them. I'm not being out here alone.
You know what they're saying? The reason he reared up like that is because the guy that stands in the starting stall with him was holding on to the bridle when the gate opened, and he just reared up to let go, and there you go. Somebody's getting
because
fired.
Mike Smith's horse was rearing up in the gate too before that, but yeah,
he couldn't have got lucky enough for it to be him to come off.
So here's some funny tweets about this whole situation. War of Will technically won the race, but the jockeyless horse is the true Preakness MVP. There were a million of those.
Is it all hashtag Preakness?
Yes. More people should be like Boat Express. Buck the people. I like this one. It's kind of a philosophical statement. More people should be like Boat Express. Buck the people that hold you back and ride free.
Ride free.
Imagine being the jockey of the last place horse and having to explain to the owner how a riderless horse beat you.
Let's wait.
Nobody cares who won. The riderless horse deserves a medal, not a disqualification. If that jockey had been a true professional, he would have finished the race on foot. That's funny.
Oh my God, how funny would that have been? He's like trucking along. Come on.
This is a wacky Triple Crown. Can't wait for the Belmont. That is true. Probably is their true. their viewership is going to be double now for the Belmont just to see what the heck's going to happen. Boat Express should start an... This is the funniest one yet. Boat Express should start an equine diet trend in horses. For only $19.95, I can teach you how to lose 120 pounds of worthless weight in seconds. Ask me how.
You know what? That's not a secret. You can just ask Groot.
And the final one must have been one of the officials from the Racing Commission. Can we just go back to Kentucky and start this year over again?
I agree. What a hot mess it has been. That is for sure.
Well, we can't. Let's do this right now. Of course, Maximum Security's owner, Gary West. What have we always talked about for 10 years that I have so wanted to happen again in racing? What have I said 1,000 times in the last 10
match,
years?
Match race.
Well, Gary West come out, and I thought he was going to do a match race, but instead he said, and that's the owner of Maximum Security, of course, who was disqualified in the Kentucky Derby. He is betting $20 million that four of the horses from the Derby can't beat Maximum Security in a race. So what he said is that if Country House, War of Will, Long Range Toddy, or Bodie Express, if any one of those beat his horse, Maximum Security, in a race before January 1st of 2020, he will put up $5 million for the winner. So basically, he's putting up a total of $20 million. And what he wants is that each owner bet the same $5 million that they will not lose to the Kentucky Derby winner.
Ooh.
I would have loved, though, if he had come out and said, I just want a match race between
any of you.
Those horses.
Oh, my gosh. And can I just point something out if you watch the race? Okay.
Which one? Back to the Preakness.
Okay. If you watch the Preakness, you know, a lot is being said about War of Will as the one who actually impeded Maximum Security. They've done a lot of extra videos, and they're actually saying that he's the one who might have caused the first problems. Well, if you watch him in the Preakness, I didn't see it live, so I had to watch it later, and it wasn't the typical announcer. So the one that I watched, if you see, the announcer actually says, whoa, he swings wide after getting the whip on the left side. So the jockey swapped the whip to the left side, whacked him, and he shot to the right about one and a half lanes. Now, there was nobody in front or nobody next to him, so he didn't impede anybody or change anything. But that's the problem with using the freaking whips in the races, that if they cause more accidents than anything, that horse would have been just fine if they would have left him alone. And they go and hit him, and he swaps and moves out. So a lot is going to have to be looked at for War of Will and the Belmont Stakes, I would think, because I feel like he's a bit of a troublemaker.
But you bet on him and won some money.
Well, I didn't know he was going to do that. I still would have bet on him because I thought he was going to win.
Did you make up for the money you lost in the Kentucky Derby?
This actually is, let me just explain to you how I gamble. Okay. This actually is a Derby Preakness Belmont bet. It's with a group of people. And there were not, I don't think, very many people who picked how I picked. So I have to wait till the Belmont is over to see how much money I won. But what irritates me is so far I've picked the Derby and the Preakness. Of course, I didn't get credit for the Derby, but I will it'll be good. It'll be good.
Maybe you could contact Gary West and have some money put up.
Yeah, right? So I won't know how much I win or don't win. I still could lose really bad, but it moved me up in the rankings considerably that I chose War of Will, and there's a lot of
money involved. It's sort of like a football pool for horse racing.
Yeah, and what's funny is that it's my brother-in-law's like work buddies, and he just thought I would like to do it, so I've actually done it the last 3 years, and the last 2 years I've won.
I'm surprised they let you in.
I know, I'm picking a bunch of kids, guys know nothing about horses or horse racing, and I somehow still am up there. You know, usually it's beginner's luck. I would lose every time, so anyway, let's do Daily Winnies.
All right.
I have to explain something, that's why I need it.
So, Daily Winnies, we have some auditor birthdays, and I tried to catch up on the ones we might have missed from last Wednesday. If I missed you, happy birthday. Lena Gavins, who's been an auditor for 2 months. Michelle Griffin, since 2016. Good on you, Michelle. Catherine Cook, since 2016. Rachel Walker, 7 months. And Cheryl Harrod, 3 weeks. Our newest one, a baby. She's a baby.
She's like, I need to get an auditor so I can get a birthday Winnie. Well, here it is.
And then Pony Club Australia. We have a lot of Australian listeners. Turned 80 years old today. So happy birthday to all the Pony Club in Australia. And now it's your turn.
Okay, first, do you have Chili's Winnie? Just isolated Chili's Winnie?
Yes, right here it is.
Okay, I need it. As y'all know, he moved on. I'm having to be careful because there's people in the house and I don't want to say too much. But I got some beautiful art, awesome ornament that is hand painted that looks just like him, and it has little wings on it. And I opened the box not knowing what it was, and I totally cried. And there's an artist card in it, and the artist is, it's painted flanks. And it's just this beautiful Christmas ornament of Chili with wings on it. And it's so nice. And I have no bloody idea who sent it to me. So apparently somebody asked for my address through Glenn. And apparently if you would just ask Glenn for my address, he'll just
I'll send him over. Yeah.
Hi, I'm an axe murderer. What is her address?
Here you go. Jamie loves axe murderers. Just go visit.
Yeah, come on over. No, so he will just give out my home address. And so he did. And this beautiful ornament came in the mail, but I have no idea who sent it. So can you please send me a message?
And I don't remember. I'm sorry. That was like
Glenn's
a month ago.
Yes, somebody asked me. I don't know who it was.
It was an auditor. I'm almost positive it was an auditor.
But... almost positive.
I looked at the profile picture and they didn't have an axe in their hand. So I thought we were okay.
Anyway.
That's very nice.
It's very sweet. I really, really appreciate it. And it totally, it worked because I just randomly like got back in town and opened a package and
bust out in tears. Speaking of getting back in town.
Hold on. I have one more daily win. Okay. You don't even need to play sound. I would like to thank the Oklahoma City school districts for canceling school today because of threat of tornado. So Lucas is here and you may hear him in the background. I put a movie on for him. So hopefully he'll be nice and quiet. But anyway, yeah,
let's mention that. If you have to go quick, please go quick.
I will. Don't you worry.
Did you put food in the shelter?
There's nothing in the shelter, but apparently, allegedly, Chad, before he left, vacuumed out all the spiders.
Well, good. But, you know, the one nice thing about a tornado versus a hurricane is they're over pretty quick, so you don't need to put food in the shelter like with the hurricane. Mm-hmm. I am looking, and they're all to the north of you right now. So far, you're lucky.
I should probably look at that.
Don't look at that because there's like three or four tornadoes already to the left of you, but it's way out from you. So far.
You know what? If I was to choose two places in the world to never live, it would be Oklahoma and Kansas.
But except Tennessee and the South have been getting hit worse than you guys lately.
Yeah, but I've lived there and it's fine. But it seems like if you look at a map of precipitation and weather across the U.S. right now, literally Oklahoma, Kansas are covered and the rest of the country is totally fine.
Yeah, and I saw this morning when I looked at the weather, I saw that you guys were under the tornado threat. And I thought, oh, Jamie's going to be so happy today.
Oh, they're like, they canceled school yesterday afternoon. They're like, hey,
I didn't know they did that.
They can do, apparently they have all these models and the warm air comes up from the south and the dry air comes from Colorado, all those places. And then they hit the jet stream.
I didn't tell you this, but there was a special on TV about 3 weeks ago and it was an hour special on the Weather Channel about why Norman, Oklahoma is the tornado capital of the country. And it went through those models and why exactly with the Rockies and the Gulf and all that stuff. And it all converges over Norman, Oklahoma. The special was called Why is Norman, Oklahoma the Tornado Capital of the Country?
I'm going to throw up. She looks sick.
Hey, well, let's talk about
me. It's just me, seven horses, two geese, a child and myself. No husband, no nothing. So good times. This is going to be a fun day.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that. If I see one coming your way, I'll tell you to go run, okay?
I've got one ear without a headphone on so I can hear the sirens.
Can you hear the sirens? I wanted to ask you that from where you live.
Yeah, they test them every Saturday at noon. You're like, oh, it's noon, because the first time I thought it was like an air raid. I was like, kids attack! What is happening?
When we lived in Lexington, we lived in a development, and there were sirens, but not only the sirens, but then there was loudspeakers with this voice that would come across and say, this is a tornado warning, get in your basements or whatever. And that was scary because it was so loud, and you could hear it echo. It was very ominous. It was like, okay.
I cracked my window.
Well, let's talk about your trip, something a little happier. We talked to you on Wednesday, and you were training two horses, if I remember, a big Friesian and then another one of the farm horse or the ranch horses. So how'd you end up?
Well, as predicted, I feel like the Friesian had a problem where he would not stand still for mounting. And not stand still for mounting to the fact that he would put his foot in the stirrup and he would gallop off. He just was a little bit green and really had never been trained to stand still. And as soon as I worked on that a little bit.
You end up like John Velasquez that way when that happens.
Yeah. It wasn't working very well for him, apparently. But I told him, I said, look, 3 minutes, three sessions, 20 minutes each. And unless like Rocket, the horse that I had for a little while, unless they're like mentally challenged, that should be about it. And mentally challenged being they had some other baggage. He had no baggage 20 minutes, three times. I was running and let me tell you, as a 41-year-old, you got to drop that stirrup pretty low to run up to a horse and put your foot in the stirrup and jump up. And I did that about 55 times. So he is trained to stand still. He was awesome. No problems. 20 minutes, three times. And then
you kind
I practiced.
Of fell for that Friesian too, from the picture
oh
I saw.
Oh my God. He's so sweet. As green as he was, like I could tell things really bothered him, but he never reacted. Like I think the saddle had just been chucked on him a bunch, you know, thrown up there. And he was always like super flinchy. And I worked on that. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he's like, okay, you want to just get on? Okay. It's just so freaking sweet. And he was just one of those horses that you just connect. Like I totally connected with. And I loved him. And I asked if I could take him home. And they said no. So that was, and Chad said no. So he was great. And then the next one was a starter horse, a three-year-old who had been very, very, very handled at birth. You know, cute baby, all these employees and little girls. They just climbed all over her. Well, then they just turned her out with the herd, as they do, for 3 years. So she comes in wild, but her reaction to things was so different than the way that it should have been. Like a horse that is wild, you know, if you do something too fast, they'll jump away from you. Anything that you did too fast, this horse, because it is so imprinted as a foal and then left alone, the horse just jumps on top of you. Like, oh my God, hold me. And so it was very challenging to get the horse to like, hey, get off. But the worst was when you would tighten the girth. If you would tighten the girth, the horse would immediately come onto you, like, bing, right on top of you. And she was 14, 3, 15 hands. And, I don't like that. I don't care how big you are. So I contacted Denise Heinlein. She's the instructor that helped me and helped certify me and taught me a bunch of stuff. And Monty was in Australia, so he didn't take your call. His assistant said, I can get him on, but it was going to be 2 a.m. my time. I'm like, that's okay. So I talked to Denise and she gave me it was so weird. Okay. She's like, okay, when you go to tighten the girth, just start walking the horse. So have somebody lead the horse and have somebody tighten the girth. Well, I had this little cowboy who'd been helping me, Cade, and he's 6 feet tall, you know, 120 pounds, but he was really tall, and he didn't like how the horse was coming on top of us either. So I said to him, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to lead the horse. And after you get the saddle up there and you go to tighten the girth, we're just going to start walking. And as we're walking, you're going to tighten the girth. And apparently this is going to make her not jump on top of us. Now, mind this is like a 21-year-old kid, swanky, like cowboy kind of guy. So we get the saddle on the horse. We put the girth around. He reaches under and grabs it. And I just start leading her forward. And he starts tightening. And this is what I'm walking forward. And I'm watching her eyes. And all I hear is, it's working. It's working. Oh, my God. It's working. It's getting tighter. It's getting tighter. It's working. Hey, it's tight. Okay, we're done. And there was no reaction from the mare. So hot training tip. If your horse is super girthy, just walk it and tighten the girth at the same time. Now, this is a Western saddle, so I needed somebody else. But I think if I had an English saddle, I could pull the horse forward with my left hand and have my right hand on the girth and just slowly inch it up. It made a huge difference. And she was totally fine. And then all of a sudden she's got, you know, a saddle on and nothing happened. And so I just told him, I was able to coach another one of the cowboys with him to do the same stuff I was doing. Because I said, you know, this needs to be done every day. And once you're able to get the saddle on and tighten the girth and get on her and ride her around, no problem, turning right and left, it would be totally, you know, just go incrementally make it harder. So then you can ride outside the round pin, but just around the round pin. And then as you get a little farther, you know, ride her up, you know, 20, 30 feet, 50 feet, 75 feet. But I also said pony her on the trails, you know, just get her out there and get her doing stuff. So hopefully they will be able to follow up on all of that, because in 4 days, I sure did a hell of a lot of work. And that leads us to equestrian first world problems. Should we do that now?
I don't think we're going to have time, actually.
Okay. Because I have equestrian first world problem that I will discuss at the end of this.
Okay.
But it is, let me just say, I, as much as I said to be consistent with her, since I left, it has rained and snowed and then snowed. And then tomorrow is rain. And the next 2 days after that in Jackson is snow. And then the next one after that is rain. And the next one after that is rain. So I happen to be there the blessed 4 days of awesomeness that they've had since last July. the only nice 4 days.
Did you get to do anything else that was fun while you were there?
You know, I mean, is it considered fun
that
if I got
work.
To hop on a horse and ride up to the
sure.
top of Spencer's
yeah.
Mountain?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, so then I did that. And I was really, really awesome to at least go on one ride. Chatted fun. He golfed a couple days. Grandpa and Lucas went all around town and did stuff. So it was, you know what? I loved doing what I was doing. So it's really, really fun.
Terrific. Sounds good.
I ate really well, too. They cook vegetarian food on demand. Pretty awesome.
Well, I wanted to mention, too, that no... For the auditors that saw the picture, no, there's not a mini at our house right now.
Oh, God, I thought there was.
Jennifer posted a picture. She's getting the guest on right now. But she posted a picture. While I was gone, she went on a trail ride with Nigel, who's 16 and a half hands, in the trailer. And from the back of the trailer, she posted the picture of Nigel standing there right beside, in the other stall, a tiny little mini. Who's
the greatest mini name of all time.
Yeah, Ricky Bobby. And this mini actually lives in about three doors down, and this lady's super nice and drives the mini. So, and we've gone out in the neighborhood here where she's driven the mini around, and that little mini can go. Jennifer went with the mini, and they went trail riding together. So she said it was really funny, the mini trying to catch up all the time. But when Jennifer can, she just got bumped off, it looks like. So a little later, we'll have her tell you what the problem is when you take a mini with a large horse in a horse trailer.
It's obvious. It is obvious what the problem is in that trailer. There's nowhere that mini can go besides anywhere at once.
Yeah, they okay. didn't even, you know, the butt bar? Apparently, they didn't even take the butt bar down because the mini just walked under it. It was a very funny picture, but everybody...
How did that mini not walk underneath Nigel?
Well, we'll let Jennifer talk about that a little bit later on in the show. Jennifer, go ahead and get the guest on. I'm going to play the... we'll talk about that a little bit later. There's a tease.
Healthy Horse from Omega Alpha Equine is your solution to help your horse stay healthy and at his best throughout the long showing season or during long events where large numbers of horses come together in a single location. Healthy Horse supports multiple systems to help your horse maintain his winning form. It combines Hemex for healthy red cell production, Immune Boost for improved immune response, Liver Flush to optimize liver function, and Lung Flush to support maximum lung function. Get Healthy Horse for your equine athlete today, because healthy horses perform better during events and recover faster afterward. You can find Omega Alpha Equine's Healthy Horse at your local tack and feed store, or you can go to omegaalpha.com to learn more or find your nearest retailer.
And I want to thank Omega Alpha for being so helpful, too. I know some auditors were posting in there that they had gotten some product from Omega Alpha and had some questions, and they dropped Jeff a note from Omega Alpha and got answers. They're very good about answering your questions. So if you have any questions, don't be afraid to call them. They're there, and they will help answer your questions. And that's, you know, what products to use, how to use the products, you know, and what dosages to use the products, all of that. So they're
and Jeff, the rep from Omega Alpha, like, owns racehorses and breeding stallion for standardbreds. He is a horse guy. It's not just us. He's not a salesman.
I think
he
his
is actually
family's been in it for years.
Yeah,
years.
They use the products. I mean, he was like, oh yeah, I used that on this horse and it worked like this. And so he is a wealth of knowledge. Definitely feel free to give him a call.
Very good. And what I also wanted to mention, those that reached out to me this morning, a couple of you wrote to me and said, how did I survive in an RV with a seven-year-old? We're going to find out on Wednesday when Jemmy is here. We'll discuss that a little further. All right, let's go to our first guest. We have Melanie on here, who is with the War Horses blog, womenofageridinghorses.com. And she's going to explain to us what that is. We have a lot of listeners in that age group. So good morning, Melanie.
Good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Jamie. How are y'all doing?
Good.
Good morning. Now, what's funny is that I saw your name and I'm like, hey, is that the Knickerdoodles lady?
First thing she said in a meeting this morning, is that the Knickerdoodles lady? How she remembered your name and put that two together, I don't know.
And you are, right?
I am. That's some pretty good sleuthing because I don't mention that when I'm posting with War Horses at all. It's kind of a secret, but that's okay.
It's out now.
Yeah. Of course, what Knickerdoodles is, we're talking about is if you go on Horse Nation, there are illustrations that you do, and they're always so funny and so appropriate. You got to do a book.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I'm tickled to share them with Horse Nation. They're such a great group of people. But of course, you know, Idea of Order does cartoons and hers are just downright hilarious, too. So I'm thrilled that they're willing to share Knickerdoodles along with those other great cartoons.
Well, and
I think my favorite one is the one of a girl and she shows her shoulder and she's like, I got a tattoo of Mars because I love him and I always want him with me. And then the other girl's like, that's cute. I also got a tat because I love my horse. And she pulls down her pants and she's had Appaloosa spots put all over her butt. Yeah, the person goes, you win.
That's funny.
I'll post that on our Horses in the Morning page.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I kind of use Knickerdoodles to kind of get the Far Side was my objective. I just kind of like that tilted, slightly skewed sense of humor. So, and I'm
it's
not
very
a clever person. Like, I can't tell a joke to save my life, but I can sit and it takes me a while, but I'll eventually get a couple lines together and then illustrate a Knickerdoodle. So they're really fun to do. Thank you for mentioning it.
Can I just ask a quick question? Are you on a speaker? Do you have your phone on a speakerphone or Bluetooth?
I do.
Yeah. Can we come off of that? The sound will be a little bit better.
Oh, yeah. Hang on. How's
that? Oh, much better. Now we can hear you better. Okay, good. All right. Well, and it's funny you say about Horse Nation because they're here every Monday. They're the next guest after you, every Monday for the last 10 years, which is how we know about you. So that's funny. But we're not here to talk about Knickerdoodles. We're here to talk about the blog. Tell us, what is the War Horses blog?
Well, it's actually a little bit more than a blog. A blog to me always suggests that somebody kind of opining their personal thoughts on things. And War Horses, we're actually a publishing community. So our demographic, our audience is older equestrians, generally over the age of 45. The majority of our readers are actually in their 60s and 70s. And it's so cool because we have a global audience, and that's so fun to hear from people, you know, in Australia and England and South Africa and Canada, and just how much we have in common, despite the fact that we live in all these places. And I really enjoy it. So I say it's a publishing community, and I mean that with all my heart. We publish in original content, and we try to focus most of the material for our older readers, but we just write some great stories that are general that would be of interest to anybody who loves horses. And we try to foster that sense of community because these women, a lot of them are isolated. Some of them have lost their husbands, but are still out enjoying horses. And some of them, nobody else in their family really cares about horses. So we try to foster that just as much as our publishing efforts.
I came across you guys for the first time, I think, last year, and we cover the Mongol Derby every year, and we kind of do coverage for it, and you had a four-part series on a woman who rode in the Mongol Derby who was 66 years old, Julia Fisher. She rode in 2017. Yeah. I remember talking about her and covering her, and then I got to read her four-part series telling it from her point of view, and it was so interesting to see that, because that is more of a young person's endeavor, mostly. So to hear, read her comments and to read her story of how she survived the Mongol Derby was quite interesting.
Well, and she's typical of what the war horses are. You know, we're not like our grandmothers. We're very active in these women. I love their stories. They'll write and say, one woman's husband passed away, and when they were together for years, they took their mules out to one of the national parks out west and just rode out in the desert for a week. And she still does that by herself. She has a horse and two pack mules, and she's in her 70s. It's like, how cool are you? I want to go with you. And I tell my friends that these women, they're grandmothers, some are great grandmothers, and they're like Harley Davidson bike riders. These are not, you know, women, well, maybe they're knitters, nothing wrong with knitting, but they're out kicking butt, riding horses, and doing things like the Mongol Derby. And I was so grateful for Julie. She wrote that series, and when I first talked to her, she was a little hesitant to write it because she, you know, fell off early in the race and was injured. And I said, that's all right. It's still a great story. You were there. You worked towards this for a year to participate in that. And that's by itself a story. So yeah, she's typical of our readers. They're just a wonderful, wonderful group of women.
When we first started doing this show, Horses in the Morning, our average age listener was probably 45 to 50. So, you know, mm-hmm. that's changed now as podcasting has become more popular. That age range is changing and actually is getting lower. But when we started out with that age range. And a lot of our listeners were especially women, coming back into horses after the kids were gone. And that's when they started coming back into horses. And she rode, you know, she started the Mongol Derby there, you know, at the, you know, in her 60s, but had only been riding for 9 years. It wasn't like she had been riding her entire life. So she kind of fit that category. And there's a lot of that when you, when you look through your stories, there's a lot of that.
Yeah, I think so too. There are a lot of re-riders. You know, I think somebody's very fortunate if they've lived their entire life with horses. I think we all were born that way. And, you know, you hope that you have a chance to have a horse. I didn't have a horse until I was after college. I bought my first one. And I just lost her last year. I bought her as a one-year-old, and she was 34 years old. And how fortunate is it that, you know, dogs and cats don't last that long, but we have an opportunity to live with a horse and get to bond with that horse for 30-some years. And for some people, even longer than that. It's a pretty cool connection, and something that I guess maybe you value a little bit more as you get a little bit older.
And your sound is coming in and out on us a little bit. I don't know what's going on there, but I don't know if you have a bad connection or what. Yes, and there's all kinds of things in there. There's different categories on it that you can go find, from features to news to interviews to advice. I mean, you really have broken it up. It's really, you're right. It really is more of a website than a blog. So I'm gonna say, everybody go check that out. Do you have to be a certain age? Do you have to be female?
Absolutely not. Okay. Everybody's welcome, and we love men too. It's just most of our readers are women because most of the people who own horses are women.
Yes, and that's true of our audience as well. Well, go check it out. There was a really interesting article. We talked about that Doris Day passed away last week. We mentioned that. You guys had a great article on that as well, and you know, her love of animals. So that article is there. That's one of the more recent ones. What's the website? Where can people find it?
It's womenofageridinghorses.com.
Womenofageridinghorses.com. And of course, you can see Melanie's other work, that other thing that she does, which we apparently were not supposed to let out of the bag, at horsenation.com. You find it over there. Thank you, Melanie.
Thanks, Jamie. Melanie. Thank you, Glenn. Have a good day.
All right.
Thanks. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to tell. It's like,
yeah,
it was like
look
you're,
at
like,
you causing
Clark
trouble this
Kent
morning.
Superman over here.
Causing trouble this morning. Isn't that funny how she, it's funny why she wouldn't mention it to her other group. I don't know either. Well, let's take a break for a song here quickly. And then we're going to come back with some equestrian first world problems. But you know what? After the Preakness this year, I think they should bring this one back.
Don't do it.
You weren't here last week, so I have to do it today.
You played this, I hung up on you.
I know, now you can't.
There's a tornado coming, I gotta go. Weather's coming in.
That was Lexi.
And
that was Lexi Larson with Good Memories. You can find all of her music at lexilarson.com.
Glenn, am I back on? Am I here?
Yes, you are.
You're having all sorts of problems. I'm the one with storms, and you're a hot mess over there. So
I was here talking away.
So was I. Anyway, yes, I think it is. I think it's at that time.
It is. You want to do it right now?
Yeah.
No, we have to talk about Total Saddle Fit first. The Stability Stirrup Leathers. It is that time. It's time to talk about the Stability Stirrup Leathers that you and Jennifer have been using ever since you got them.
I'm going to have to get the jumper version because I got the dressage saddle version of the Total Saddle Fit Leathers. And I did say, I was like, if it helps me sit the trot that on Groot, who's like sitting on a jackhammer, then I will be really, I'll love him forever. Well, I don't know what kind of black magic these things are, but I could sit the trot a lot better on him. It was amazing. I don't know what happens, but it really keeps your lower leg underneath you. And I now feel like I need to buy a pair for my jump saddle because that's the saddle I was in when I got bucked off. I think I need a little help.
Jennifer, you use them all the time. Did you use them when you rode out with Ricky Bobby the other day?
I did, and we had a Nigel moment, so I was glad to have them.
And what
okay,
was that?
So,
yeah, what was the Nigel moment? Yeah.
Well, we were just walking along having a lovely time, and because we were out with a pony who can literally walk under his belly without ducking, Ricky Bobby frequently had to trot to catch back up to us. And just like Scooter does, he waits till he's way far behind, and then he goes zoom and trots past us and gets well ahead of us so he can walk for a while. That's just seems to be a pony thing. You don't catch up and just stop right next door to each other. And each time he would do this, Nigel would get a little bit cranky. How dare that pony pass me? And at last, he couldn't stand it anymore. About an hour into the ride, he couldn't stand it anymore. And he made that little squeak noise that you know is going to be followed by some sort of airs above the
ground. Oh, boy. Oh, God. He squeaked. Yeah. Hang on.
We had one of those moments. And usually when that happens, it's when I've dropped my feet out of the stirrups and I'm holding the buckle of the reins and I'm watching the wildlife. But for once, I was paying attention and I did not end up on his neck hugging him. But I was glad to have those stirrup leathers because we had a few moments there. Yeah. Whee!
Why do these stirrup leathers make a difference, though?
I don't know. There's
It's black magic. No. yeah. So there's a wider design on the bottom, which they're almost like grippy on your saddle. But also, they're really thin. So it makes it feel like there's no leathers under your leg. So many times you get like a stirrup leather that's pretty bulky. Also, it says the portion of the leathers that wrap around the stirrup bar are thin calfskin wrapped webbing to make the minimal bulk under the leg. And you just legs just right up against your horse. They actually have a guarantee, and it says they are guaranteed to improve your ride or they will pay shipping both ways. So you buy them and you pay the shipping to get it out. And you're like, this did not help. There was no black magic associated with this for me, which won't happen. But anyway, then they will pay your shipping at both ways. They'll pay you to have them, they'll give you a refund on your shipping out. So check them out, totalsaddlefit.com.
We've had Justin on. He is a saddle fitter and knows a ton about saddle fit. And that's why these products work. It's because he knows a ton about it to begin with. And obviously has a heck of a lot of confidence in his products.
Yeah, because yes. It really does help. Well, let me start by telling you that if you have a equestrian problem, it is a first world problem. That is the world we're living in right now. And these equestrian first world problems are real, real sad, heartbreaking, heart-wrenching problems. But they're actually submitted by our auditors. We put up a post on the auditors page on Facebook and say, hey, do you have an equestrian first world problem? And these are what people came up with. So we're going to start with Jane. Jane, literally within an hour after I left to go on vacation in Italy, my horse got the tip of his ear bit off in turnout. It's like he knew I was going on vacation.
Oh, jeez. Not much you can do about that one either, is there?
Not much to stitch there. Let's put it back on. Did they like, you know, when people lose their finger, like, find it! Find the tip of the ear! We'll reattach.
Let's go search the paddock for a tip of an ear. Yeah.
Now, Lisa says these were the actual words out of her 9-year-old niece's mouth. Okay, so this is a 9-year-old. It was heard by Lisa, and she felt the need to submit it. Oh my God. I've got 3 ponies and it's so hard to decide who I'm going to ride first.
9 years old.
Oh gosh. Shannon says that my horse squashed my foot and I'm in the hospital instead of camping out with my friends at the horse show we'd all plan on going on. And then damn them and their happy Facebook updates. Back in the good old days, I could just imagine they were cold and miserable, but now I have to see their minute by minute photo updates of their fun.
Can I just say, Shannon, I had to block you for 30 days today because she keeps posting.
Did she post about Game of Thrones?
No, she's about her foot. Eddie, I don't know if you've seen all of Shannon's foot pictures. Shannon is understating getting stepped on by a horse. She's had surgery. She has this huge hole in her foot, and I cannot look at your holy foot anymore. I had to block you for 30 days.
Holy foot!
I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, I just put you on block for 30 days. Yeah. If you notice that nobody's commenting on your post,
yeah, that's why. Because And oh, by the way, I hope it gets better. My God, girl.
Yeah, it's not just a squash. Okay. Kayla says, my horse just came back from the trainers for a much needed refresher. And now he's dead lame. Ugh, that is a first world problem. Okay.
Good.
Talk to your trainer.
Just spend thousands of dollars the trainer and it gets back lame.
I mean, you
there should be a guarantee. Shipping
as
both
a
ways.
Trainer, no. Meta says, my son was so thoughtful and proud of himself that he got me such a pretty halter and lead rope for Mother's Day. But it's hanging on the doorknob in the house because I don't want to get it dirty.
Every time you get a new leather lead rope or leather halter, especially, it's like, oh, I got to put it on the horse.
Oh my gosh, I posted this picture yesterday. I'll post it on the Horses in the Morning page of my horses in their brand new fly sheets, and they're so pretty. So like Baby Zara has like a zebra striped one, and Groot and Drax both have metallic maroon ones, so like reflect and everything. They're awesome. And Groot's like, hey guys, y'all hang out over there. I'm gonna go find the nastiest former cow pile nasty in this pasture. And I'm gonna roll in it on both sides about 25 times. His is no longer the color of metallic maroon. It is some sort of dingy black brown. It's so gross. And Drax is like, mine's still pretty. Zara's like, I wouldn't dare get mine dirty. And Groot's like, I'm in the mud. Let's see. Rebecca says, okay, this is a little bit of a long one. I have to click see more. I am the horse person in my family, me, but been riding since I was 8, and I finally own horses like a lifetime later. But last weekend, my husband, who decided after we married that he also likes to ride, and my son, who didn't care about horses until he was a teenager, they rode at Mount Vernon's Revolutionary War weekend, and they had the truck. So I volunteered, didn't ride at my local schooling show. And to make it even worse, my older son joined his college eventing team, and he rode at this very show. So the men in my family who had had nothing to do with horses, if it weren't for me, all rode and things that weekend. And I didn't, and it's my hobby. My family hijacked my hobby.
Be careful what you ask for.
Right? I discourage all equestrian activities by husbands and now sons. Like, it just take too much time. Let me just get on and go. Courtney says, I went.
That's what Jennifer says when I have to hook up the cart, put the harness on. I take that.
Like,
yeah.
She's like, just give it to me. I'll do it. Courtney says she went cross country schooling yesterday and my mare was a royal brat for most of the ride. So now I have to go again next weekend. God, I'd kill to go cross country schooling right now. There's a listener named Jen. No name, no last name. My new riding buddy is a mini, but he walks under the trailer partitions and under my horse. So we have to figure out a way to contain him.
So I teased that earlier, Jennifer, you were trying to get the collar on. So Ricky Bobby had a habit of, when you got there, was Ricky Bobby actually under your horse in the trailer?
Only his head and ears.
Yeah.
He was chewing on Nigel's knees. And Nigel's like,
you finally get your horse comfy in the trailer.
I know. We're going
to have to lash Ricky Bobby to the wall.
Bungee tie him to the wall.
Bungee cords him to the wall.
And to add insult to injury, as he would get past Nigel to pass him on the trail as we're going along, if we were at a spot that was nice and smooth, what do they call it? Is it in hockey when one of the hockey players
body check him?
He would body check him, and he's knee high. He would be taking him out of the knee. It was hilarious.
There's a reason Nigel hates little horses.
Did nobody pony him? He just was loose?
No, oh, no, no. He was being driven in his little carriage, but as soon as he'd get about level with Nigel, he would go ching off to the side, and Sarah would be like yanking on the other rein, going, no, no, and he'd go sideways.
Naughty pony.
God, minis have an attitude, don't they?
And he's built like a little tiny, he's like square. So funny.
But can we give that pony an award for having the best pony name ever, Ricky Bobby? Yes. That's the best pony name.
Is it a filly or is it a mare or a gelding?
It's a gelding.
Okay, so it is Bobby, like Bobby. Okay, I didn't know because you wrote it as Ricky Bobbie, and I was like, that's the
might have done that.
Name for a filly of all time. Ricky Bobby,
Bobbie,
to make it feminine. Okay, Kayla says, I finally thought of my equestrian first world problem, but then my page refreshed, and it took me so long to find that thread again that I forgot. That's how first world it was.
How many times has that happened to you, though, when something happens, there's a post you want to comment on, your page refreshes, and you can never, ever find it again?
It's on the auditor's page because there's so many things posted. First world problem.
Yes, exactly.
Kimberly, oh wait, Christy says, I didn't get to watch the Preakness on Saturday because I was eating dinner in a fancy restaurant and they had no TVs. They don't have any TVs. Kimberly, this is weird and funny. Kimberly Watts says, I finally found where missing socks and gloves go. I totally stripped down my feed room, pallets and all, and I stared down one rat and ended the lives of one too many Black Widow spiders.
Ugh.
Burn it down. Just burn it
Where's
down.
Where's she live? Just
California. There's Black Widows all over. There's one in your house right now. Let me just tell you that. And two more. One is April. And April, I highly recommend that you just kick your husband in the shins for making this kind of comment. April says, I need a new stall fork. And my husband says, I don't need a flexin' fork. And that we can just buy one at the feed store. Well, listen, husband, you can go buy 5 or 6 and it will not last as long as one flexin' fork. So you're wasting money. You should know as a farm owner, you got to buy the expensive stuff because the cheap stuff's not going to last.
That's true.
That's just the way it is.
That's why you have a Morton building.
Exactly. All right. I'm going to knock on wood because we have tornadoes today.
Yeah. I just checked, and so far they're still north Tank. Of you. So
it was me knocking. It was me knocking, Tank. It was me. You're okay.
All right. So far, the storms are all north of you, and I don't see any tornadoes currently. So
okay, good. Tank is really unhappy that I knocked on them. All right. The final first world problem. And you're supposed to kind of take it as a compliment in the end. That's what we tell ourselves anyway. Come here. It's okay. It was me. Jeez. Sleeping Jack Russell. Like, all freaked out. Okay. So my first world problem is that. All right. So I put Cade the cowboy up on. Oh, by the way. Okay. So I'm training these horses in Wyoming and there's nobody around. Nobody. Nobody watches anything. It's like they all go about their business, but somehow somebody got wind of when I was going to put Cade the cowboy up on this filly for the first time. All of a sudden, I could see people like hopping up on top of fences, and then there's like 6 or 7 heads peeking out of the tech room, and like all of a sudden there's people, but they're like hiding trying to watch. Like, come on over, I don't care. Anyway, so everybody's watching. They all peer out of nowhere, and I leg Cade up on to the filly, and she was fine. And I unclipped, and they walked around, and he steered and turned. They even trotted a little bit, like totally fine. And it's over. I get him down, and he gets off, and we untack, and I'm carrying the tack back, and nobody says anything to me. Nobody says a word to me.
Like, good job or nothing.
Nothing. Great job. Hey, nice work. And one of the girls who was not so super nice to me turns to the other girl as I'm walking by and goes, I knew she wouldn't be that bad. She was like totally easy. So my first world problem is I cannot believe that I do all that work on these horses and not one person says good job. Even the owner of the horse goes, man, I didn't know she'd be that. She wasn't that bad. I didn't know she'd be that good. And I was like, to be fair, yeah. I have prepped this freaking filly a total of 8 hours for this moment to make it like that. Okay. I could have, day one. Cade would have gotten on. He would have ridden that out. He was cowboy. That's what he would have loved to do. And then you would have had your show, but there was no show. And they're all disappointed that there was no show. And it's like, booyah, that's because I did my job right. But nobody's going to say a word to me about doing my job right. No, it's like, oh, God, she was so easy. Oh, I thought she'd be harder, but she was like super easy. Bitch, please. Who are you talking to?
Glenn doesn't know it, but he very nearly got dumped. Early on, we'd only been seeing each other for probably less than a year.
What did he say in that thing?
I got on one of the young horses for the first time, and he was out watching because he said, oh, you can do that for the first time. I'll come out and watch. And I got on, and it all went reasonably well. And he was there for maybe 10 or 15 minutes. He went, well, that was pretty uneventful, and he left.
That's a rookie mistake.
It was a rookie mistake, so I forgave him. But
we prepare the horses so well that's what you want to see. You want that. And you know, that horse in a buck.
Yeah, but for us, it's not very exciting. You got to admit, it's not a spectator sport at that point.
Well, Chad watched a lot of it and he's like, you know what? I just think that the plastic is really boring because I put plastic all over. He's like, that's kind of boring. I'm like, it's not boring for me and it's not boring for the horse.
No, it's not boring for the horse.
That's no, funny. But it's funny. It's like Monty said he judged a competition, a horse colt starting competition. And there was three trainers and one of them was Chris Cox and the other two, I can't remember who they were, but they had to judge at the end the difficulty level of the horse. And Monty was like, no, the difficulty level of the horse, you should judge that at the beginning. Okay. The beginning, because Chris Cox got like the lowest score on that. And Monty's like, he just did the best job. So you can't judge the difficulty of the horse at the end. It needs to be the beginning, because the trainer that didn't get anything done, well, he must have had the most difficult horse. Well, how about the other guy did a good job? And you didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's always funny because like when you start a wild horse in the gentling pen, there's, you know, two groups of students on him, and one always says, oh, you guys got the easy one. No, they did a better job than you. They're all from the same place, okay? They've all had the same life. But it's funny. So you try to take that as a compliment and turn that around in that vein. So I got the easy one. She was so easy. She was like not nearly as bad as I thought she was going to be. It's because I worked on her.
Did you get your paycheck? That's all that counts.
We're all settled. Okay. We're all settled. Good. Up. Good. They were very, I tell you, the owners are super happy. They know how, there's a reason that they didn't give this filly to anybody else on the farm. They knew that she was going to be a tough nut, and she was, and I feel like I did a good job. So
well, good job. We'll tell you. Good job.
Whatever. Don't patronize me.
Now, next up, Leslie, of course, who is here every Monday, is on maternity leave. We all know that. So Kristen from Horse Nation is filling in today. Hi, Kristen.
Hey, hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. Before we get to your stories, Ken, and maybe one of them is, maybe I should look first because, because if one of them is, I'm going to hang up on you. Oh, good. Phew, we're safe.
Oh, good.
The woman, if anybody else shares with me, especially my podcasting friends who know nothing about horses, if any of them shares with me the woman running like a horse and jumping again, the video, I will unfriend them forever. I must
do you find it unsettling?
Oh, it's unsettling. It's very disturbing. It is very disturbing.
It is, but I have to give her kudos because that was very hard to do. Like, as someone who spent their childhood doing that.
I just want to buy her a horse, actually,
yeah,
myself.
Did you spend your childhood doing that on your actual hands and knees?
Well, no, I mean, like, briefly on my hands and knees, and then we went to, like, the Horses Horse Show version, you know, where you just sort of Monty Python it and run around.
Yeah, that's exactly the Monty Python version. That's the normal way children do it.
This reminded me of the lady who did the, what was that called? The exercise video that was so disturbing. Prancercising. Yes, kind of reminded me of her. So anyway, that's a warning. Anybody sends that to me again, I'm just unfriending them forever for life, blocking you and reporting you to Facebook. Yep.
Zero tolerance. No.
I'm totally going to send you that right now so you block me. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's a call to everyone.
A call.
Call to action.
So what are we talking about today, Kristen?
Okay, so disclaimer, I have a puppy in the house. So if I suddenly sound really distracted, I am chasing the puppy.
What kind of puppy? You have
something to
tell us now.
He is a German poodle pointer. He is not mine. I'm fostering him for my father-in-law who's out of town this week. So.
Oh, okay. A German poodle pointer.
Yes. It is not a poodle crossed with a pointer. It's its own breed. I was confused for several months when they said they were getting this dog. So it's its own breed. It's a versatile hunting dog. So it will be a pointer and a retriever. Right
I
now, he's just a
Google
puppy.
I have to Google this right now. German poodle pointer?
Yeah, it's P-U-D-E-L. So it's like, you know, German puddle. They're cute. They look kind of like Labradors with a beard. So
a
they look
poodle
like tiny
pointer,
little old men.
Oh, that's really a strange looking dog. Poodle pointer is one word, by the way.
Yes.
It is kind of an odd looking dog.
Like quickly Googling. Yeah. No, he looks like a tiny little old man. He's very cute.
They do look like old men. All of them look like old men.
Yeah, they look like they should have like a pipe and a cap.
Yes.
You know, and sort of like, be like, I say old chap, you know, or say that in a German accent.
But. I think this is the kind of dog that was in 101 Dalmatians when they were like calling to the other ones like, I say old man, there's a puppy missing. Yes. Have you seen a puppy? Yeah, that one. He's a monocle.
He looks like, wise beyond his years, although he's like rolling around on the floor chewing on his dog bed. So he's not that smart yet.
Somebody
do not chase that cat. Do not. Oh, there we go.
Somebody in the analytics department at Google's going, why did we just see a rush on German poodle pointers?
Spike on poodle pointers.
That hasn't been searched for in 10 years. Now all of a sudden we had thousands of people searching for it. Must be a trend.
Thousands. My
goodness. A P-U-D-E-L pointer. That's so strange. Okay, anyway, they're really, I don't feel they're that attractive.
Yeah, they're like, you know, I don't know.
They're working like dogs.
Charming in a weird sort of way.
They're working
is there
dogs.
Any such thing as an ugly, well, I shouldn't say that. There's definitely ugly dogs, but there's no ugly puppies. So everything is a puppy.
That's
yeah,
true.
That's true.
So. That's true.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I saw for the first time on the beach the other day over the weekend was a cat on a leash. And I said
on
to myself,
beach?
Yeah, on the beach. Oh, yeah. I, first, the lady
biggest
was walking her cat.
In the world.
On, yes, exactly. It's like the biggest kitty litter box in the world. But I'd
this
never seen a
cat
on a leash.
Got out of the car. It's like, are you serious?
Thanks, man.
This is amazing.
And it was that soft, soft, soft powdery sand that they only have in Southern Florida and the Gulf. And it was this cat was in heaven, let me tell you. Anyway, that's not what we were supposed to talk about. Five answers you get when you ask the internet for advice, which we've covered a few on this show over the years.
Oh, yes. You know, and no matter how many times we're like, oh, we shouldn't do that. You know, everybody's done it at least once. So, you know, confession. But yeah, this was one of Maria's submissions. So Maria is the queen of the funny list on Horse Nation. So she's come up. I don't know that she asks a lot of these questions, but she spends a lot of time lurking on internet groups and sort of observing. So in her travels, this is what she's come across with.
All right, let's
go
over
her sample question.
Yeah.
Sample question. My gelding keeps throwing shoes. Is there anything I can do to prevent this from happening? So your first response, your gelding is clearly in pain. You need to have your equine chiropractor come out, followed by your massage therapist. Don't forget to use the latest heat wave technology. And if you start riding bitless, I really think he's going to stop throwing shoes because he'll be walking better.
And of course, ulcers. She forgot ulcers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, oh no, that's further down the list.
Oh, it is.
Ulcers come up too. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Second response. Your gelding is lacking in turmeric, whatever that.
Turmeric. Yeah.
Yeah. Coconut oil or flaxseed or beet pulp or rice bran or minerals or fairy dust, etc. And he probably has internal parasites and ulcers.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. All of those things.
Yep.
I think actually my horses are on all but fairy dust. And if I could find that, if anybody has a link to fairy dust, that'd be great.
Yes.
You know what you need to do is you need to come up with your own blend and then sell it as like the Jamie Jennings proprietary fairy dust.
Oh my God. It could be like
you can make a coconut. Bazillion dollars.
But since I gave you the idea, now I'm going to demand royalties from that. So
it's okay. I'm too lazy to do anything like that. So if you do it, just send me some.
Just dust. Put some dust in a bottle. You know, you're done. So let's see. Response number 3. Shoes are a product of the devil. Your horse needs to be barefoot. He also needs to be turned out 24/7, have continuous access to food, and be on a 2-week trimming cycle. Your life needs to revolve around your horse, and if you can't do that, you are also the devil.
That's true. So
good news is I'm not
like
the devil.
Thank goodness.
My life revolves around, you know, I'm a slave to them. I'm sure you are too. You're a slave to your horse. Who are you kidding?
Yeah, no, I'm just back from my first trip to the barn today, so I'll be going down later for the second trip. So
exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, my horse did throw a shoe, so I'm like, oh my God, I'm the devil. Anyway. Response 4. Have you considered an animal psychic? I had really good luck with Shirley McWhirley, and she told me that my sassy pants was really upset when I made her work once a week, and that's the reason she was bucking me off. Shirley McWhirley also told me that sassy pants wants to be put away and fed lunch, and that's the reason why she was bolting towards the gate 5 minutes into our lesson. Now that I know that, I stopped riding Sassy Pants, and I make sure I bring extra treats every time I go to the barn.
I like Sassy Pants and Shirley McWhirley. Those
Shirley
are
McWhirley. She sounds like a great animal communicator. Yes. Like, we should totally
get her on the show.
That's going to Google, too. Is there a Shirley McWhirley in the world?
I haven't Googled it, so watch. It'll actually be an animal communicator. And she'll be like, thanks for the free commercial.
Free plug.
Oh, here we go, Jamie. So I already mentioned your proprietary fairy dust. The fifth and final response. This is clearly a training issue. Buy my proprietary training stick and my DVD series. And if you start doing all of these lessons and games, I bet your horse will grow stronger hooves.
Obviously.
No
question
about it.
Now, the sad part is, though, is if you log on to any one of your, like, you know, Facebook groups for disciplines or breed or region or whatever, it's like, these are all the responses that you actually get. As we know.
Yeah, for everything.
Just call a professional.
Yeah. It's the same 5 responses for every ailment. The same 5.
Yeah, that's pretty much like your standard response.
Yep.
So,
pain,
that's why you see everybody,
ulcers.
Unfortunately, now everyone has to do their post where it's like, please don't judge my equitation, judge my shoeing job, judge my tack choice.
Well, you
like,
know
oh
what is
God.
Sad? When we first started this show, we would post a lot of stuff on Horses in the Morning Facebook page. And now, and especially Jamie, and she has a right, we have to be really careful what we post because if there's one little thing wrong in the picture of something that we were doing or something that we were involved in, then, you know, we don't post it because we're just going to get flamed.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I shared a video on OTTB Connect last week. I shouldn't have mentioned that by name, that group. And I was like braced and ready, but so far, knock wood.
Can we just say that
positive.
That group is a mess? Can we just, I'm going to say it.
It is. Yeah, that's, I think, where the phrase Hot Mess Express should have been coined. there's some good things in there, so I just wanted to show my little Western thoroughbred because there aren't that many. But yeah, I'm surprised that no one's been like, oh, you should really try going bitless, you should not use spurs, you should use spurs, you should be doing this without a saddle, oh, you know, cows are mean, keeping cattle is cruel, you know. So fortunately none of that has come up yet, so but I'm ready when it does.
Yeah, and I think that's also a product of the you know, the room getting larger too. It's probably fine when there were, you know, 500. Then
sure,
then you get thousands and then you got problems. So the second article to talk about is trekking the Trans-Albanian Trail. That's a new one.
Yeah, so we have a team of contributors. It's Ashley and Quentin, and they, I believe, are originally from France, or they were based in Paris before they launched this trip. But they are riding the Trans-Albanian Trail, which apparently has not really been trekked by horseback very frequently.
Can I ask a dumb question? Is it in Albania?
It is,
okay,
in
good.
Fact. Yeah, okay. Yes.
I got to look up where Albania is now because I have no idea.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's like one of those countries that, like, unfortunately, we all sort of like forget exists.
Well, I didn't even really know. It's actually, it's below Serbia, it's beside Greece, and it's near North Macedonia. Does that help?
Right. I mean, it helped.
It's right across from Italy. It's to the right of Italy, heading toward Greece.
Yeah. So this, what we linked today was their second blog post. So they're blogging every other week, hopefully. I mean, this is sort of dependent on them getting through towns that have enough internet access to be able to submit to me. So far, it's been going well. We'll see if they kind of end up way off the grid. We might not hear from them for a while. But it's a pretty cool project. So it's 600 kilometers through Albania, like through the back country. And I think a lot of Albania is back country to begin with. And they purchased local horses. So like native Albanian breds, one as a pack animal and then two to ride. And they are going to ride this whole trail and just sort of see this country that, you know, is not really known for being a tourist destination or, you know, a big, I guess it doesn't have a big riding culture.
Or one that we've even never heard of in the last 10 years.
Yeah, so, but you know what? I think I'm kind of an outdoorsy person. So I see, you know, if you go through and, you know, see these countries close up like that, like on foot or on horseback or on bicycle, you know, rather than sort of taking your canned tour in a car, you know, I think it's a really neat way to see the country. So, so their most recent blog post, was about them finding their horses, which was a pretty interesting experience. So they discovered the hard way that Albania doesn't really have a big horse culture. So a lot of people had driving horses, but they don't really ride them. So they were, they had a funny moment with the horse trader, a pair of them, and the two guys were like, well, you get on it. No, you get on it. No, you get on it. And they were like, pass. So nobody got on it because they're like, well, if the guys don't want to get on it, obviously we don't want to ride it either. So so it's a really interesting series, and hopefully they're going to be able to keep up with it
pretty regularly. Well, the other thing, like the Mongol horses, they're not very big. And I guess the guy's like 6 foot. So
yeah, Quentin looks like a tall drink of water. So he is, they found him a relatively big horse compared to what they had available. But yeah, they look like pretty sort of rugged, you know, mountain type ponies. So,
well, that's going to be an interesting experience.
It's going to be a fun one to follow. So I just, you know, hope obviously that they have a safe trip and a good time. But, you know, it looks like a beautiful country that, yeah, we don't really think too much about because, you know, nobody really goes on vacation to Albania. But some of the landscape photos that they're sharing are just gorgeous. So
yeah, a lot of hills and mountains, it looks like. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Very rugged. So I think lots of sheep herders and, yeah, it's a pretty rural nation. So,
well, I like that in 2300 episodes, you've brought us something we've never talked about before, and that's Albania.
Riding in Albania. Yeah. So there you go. Huh. Always new ground, right? You always got to keep learning. So,
by the way, there's like 10 cities in Albania and the rest is just barren from what I can see here.
Yeah. If you go back to their first installment, they have a map that shows where they're going to trek. And yeah, it's just sort of like just out there.
Yeah. I don't know where food's going to come from, but.
Well, and that's where I'm really curious how they're even going to submit to me. So either they're bringing like a serious, some sort of crazy
satellite phone
and a satellite charger, yeah. or they're going to be hopefully finding, I don't know, like little internet cafes out there in Albania. I'm not really sure.
This
so,
makes
but
Mongolia
like,
look
sure.
urban. I mean,
yeah, I mean, didn't Leslie camp at a shopping mall?
Yes, exactly.
Like gross overgeneralization.
One little tiny store.
Did, but...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she picked up her Starbucks and went on her merry way. So,
well, that's very cool. That'll be something to fun or something fun to follow. That'll be over at horsenation.com. Is where you can see that. Yeah. Well, Kristen,
they might be fun ones too when they come back. Maybe they would be willing to hop on the show.
Oh, that'd be fun. Yes.
Share their journey to everybody.
Yes,
so I
think connecting with them while they're in Albania would probably be a problem.
Yeah, that might be tougher, but that's cool. Definitely when they're back, I'm sure they'd be happy to share their story. So we'll put them in touch with you guys.
Sounds good. Thanks, Kristen. We'll talk to you next week. And thanks for filling in while Leslie's out playing baby.
Oh, no problem.
Do we have a report? Is she doing okay?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's... Like maternity leave, as you might imagine for Leslie, I think is like a working term. So, you know, like she's not really on maternity leave.
Yeah.
We're trying to make her be on maternity leave, but she's still working. So,
yeah, I bet. You know, the babies sleep a lot at that age.
Yes.
So,
yeah. That's what I've heard. I don't speak from experience, but puppies do not. If I sounded distracted halfway through, I had to run two rooms over and round this little guy up. So,
well, have fun with that German. What was it again?
The poodle pointer.
Poodle pointer. Well, have fun with the German poodle pointer. Thanks,
yeah,
Kristen.
I'll put a little cap on him and send you a photo.
Okay, do that.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
That's funny. All right. Well, that's going to be it for today's show. Have we covered everything?
I think so. What did you learn today?
What I learned today was that there's a German poodle pointer that it's interesting. I learned where Albania. When's the last time you've heard Albania?
When's the first time I've heard Albania?
There you go. And it's actually a pretty big country. Who knew? So, you know, if they're not threatening to attack us or we're not threatening to attack them, we'd never hear about them in the news. So good for you, Albania, staying out of the world news. I learned that. I also learned that you get no respect wherever you go.
Definitely not here.
What did you learn today?
Let's see. I learned that people on Twitter are really funny. I did not expect to. Those tweets were really funny. I learned that, Ricky Bobby is a great name for a pony.
I learned that you've just been blocked from my Facebook for 30 days.
I've been waiting for you to notice it.
She posted that darn video again.
Oh, you're welcome. Hey, all right, everybody, have a great day. I'm going to go make sure everything is still together outside.
Yeah, good luck, and keep your head down. We'll talk to you.
Thank you. All right, thank you. Spay, neuter, geld.